It was the year 1966. It was the month of May. My father and myself travelled to London. We went to the Buckingham Palace, and there was a commotion. They said the Queen was coming through. I was too short to see the Rolls Royce, so I got up onto the pillar. My dad said, "What are you doing?" I said, "No, I want to see the Queen." So I got up and I saw her sitting at the back of the black Rolls Royce with a chauffeur passing through. That was 49 years ago. And this morning, place where I slept, they said, "Prince Harry is there." So I'm going back to see if I can see Prince Harry. And then I want to tell him about another prince. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Forgiveness. And maybe I'll quote one of the beautiful songs, "When all my labors and trials are over, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. That will be glory for me." It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day, don't skip it, in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones, as we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us. Our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit, not ours. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence. Where? And humiliation? Where? At the foot of the cross. Humility. As we associate together, we may be a blessing to one another. If we are Christ's, our sweetest thoughts will be of him. And as we speak to one another his love, of his love, our hearts will be softened by divine influence. Beholding the beauty of his character, we shall be changed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It was a spring morning in Jerusalem on the 27th of April, 31 AD, according to some scholars. It was about 9 o'clock, and thousands were making preparations for the great yearly feast, the Passover. The Jewish leaders succeeded in getting Pilate to have Jesus crucified. They were happy, and Christ was weeping. Let's go to his official residence to see what is going to happen to Jesus. And the arrow shows you this model of the Jerusalem from the time of Christ, where this all happened. And it's good to have this archaeological knowledge to appreciate the sufferings of Christ a little more. Matthew 27, verse 31. "And when they had mocked him," this was keeping on mocking him, "they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." Can archaeology shed more light on the crucifixion issue? We've got a little bit. A place called Lithostratos was discovered in the Antonio Fortress. It was here where Jesus stood when he listened to the death sentence being pronounced. The Latin words of Pilate keep ringing in his ears, painfully ringing in his ears. "Ibis ad crucem, ibis ad crucem. You will be crucified, you will be crucified." And the voice of Pilate disappears. Messengers run into the city to announce that Jesus would be crucified. People start gathering at the Via Della Rosa. More and more people gathered to see what was going to happen. Roman law stated that the condemned had to carry his own cross. Like Roman law also said, you have to carry a burden for a mile. Jesus said, no, go 2 miles. So they had certain laws, and this was one of the laws. He had to carry his own cross. Strong Roman soldiers arrived with the crosses. The two other convicted criminals were able to carry their crosses. When they placed the cross on the shoulders of Jesus, he collapsed. His agony in Gethsemane made him weak. Loss of blood, tension, rejection from God the Father. How much blood did he shed here? We're not sure. 7 unfair trials left their toll on him. He was devastated. How many lashes did he receive in the palace of Caiaphas? 13 on the left breast, 13 on the right breast. How much blood did he lose at the palace of Caiaphas? Then followed the painful time in that dark dungeon where he cried out. After the second scourging, the cross was laid upon him. Human nature could bear no more. He fell fainting beneath the burden of that huge Roman cross. The mocking, the spitting, his beard being plucked out and continuous being slapping in the face was more than his body could bear. He would have gladly carried the cross for us, but with all the loss of blood, it was just impossible. He just couldn't do it. The soldiers tried to enforce the Roman law that Jesus should carry the cross to the place of crucifixion, execution, shame, but failed. They couldn't get this victim to carry the cross. Can you see them kicking and swearing at Jesus, the poor, despised, exhausted criminal? He did not carry a cross. He couldn't carry a cross. He was nailed to the cross, but he couldn't carry it. On his way to the Passover feast, Simon from Cyrene bumped into this humiliating scene. What's going on here? There's a big commotion. The soldiers notice his sympathetic glance, grab him and force him to carry the cross of Christ. Afterwards, he delighted thinking of what had happened. Luke 23:27, and a great multitude of the people followed him, and women also mourned and lamented him. There was a beautiful sound coming from the cursing mob. Women lamenting him. This must have meant something to him. What comfort to Jesus. For the first time he sees what he's craving for. Just a little sympathy. And the woman wailing gave him that sympathy he was looking for. This was the only thing that attracted Christ's attention. Although full of suffering, while bearing the sins of the world, he was not indifferent to the expression of grief. He recognized their sympathy. And if you sympathize with him, he recognizes it. He looked upon these women with tender compassion. Verse 28, but Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. With prophetic eye, he saw what was going to happen to the city in 70 AD. Luke 23, verses 29 and 30, for indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say, to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills, cover us. So with a sympathetic eye, he looks to the future and he speaks these words. 31, for if they do these things in the green wood, referring to himself, what will be done in the dry? I would have told these sympathizing women of many more undeserved miseries that struck me. This is me, sinful me. But Jesus was altogether different. He did not complain because of his sufferings, never. We should be careful not to use our pain to solicit sympathy. We call it masochism. Be careful not to develop the psychological sickness of masochism. You will meet people, and I've met them. We call them hypochondriacs in our language, hypochondria. They tell you about the sad experiences they had, and they try to solicit your sympathy. Don't do that. Let us move sympathy away from ourselves as Jesus did. He said, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Do not weep for me, I will weep for you. Look at this man. It is destructive to nurture chronic pain. It is therapeutic to care about the pain of someone else. Care about someone else. Don't care about yourself. Marvelous thought. Can you see it? He is so weak, pale, exhausted, covered in blood. He staggers behind Simon of Cyrene, who carries his cross. He can hardly keep up. Doesn't seem to me that he will be able to walk all the way to the place of execution. Can you see him staggering behind his own cross? The Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders exit the sheep's gate and turns left to the hill of Calvary. When you visit Jerusalem, you can picture the route he took. He stumbles and falls to the ground. Can you see it? He cannot even keep up with Simon, who carries that heavy cross, moving slowly. He couldn't even kept up with that space. He couldn't keep up the pace of Simon carrying his cross. It was very painful, but not a word of complaint was uttered. The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth became so weak that he couldn't even walk for you and me. Why does he endure this humiliating suffering? What does he want to go and do at the cross? Why does he want to hang there in shame, in naked shame? What about the option to end humiliation and suffering and leave immediately to the bliss of heaven and the adoration of billions of angels? He's already shed blood in Gethsemane. His chest and back had already been lacerated. His wounds had already accomplished healing. What is preventing him from going back to his Father? You and me. He still has to fulfill some prophecies concerning his crucifixion. He needed to demonstrate the awfulness of sin more and more clearly. Looking at the cross of Calvary, you appreciate the ugliness of sin. The saving message of the plan of salvation had to be illustrated more fully through the sufferings of Christ. The more he suffered, the more beautiful does the plan of salvation appear to us. He had to come and suffer the agonies of the second death. That second death. So that we could go free and spend eternity in his presence. But at this stage, he is still in a collapsed situation. He tries to get up, but he's too weak and he falls back. Please, please, soldier, can you carry me to the cross of Calvary? Can you please take me up this hill where I will be crucified on this cross? Soldier, sorry, I cannot get up. Can you see him prostrate on the ground? Mark 15:22, and they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. The word for brought, they brought him to the place, Golgotha. That word brought in Greek, thereo, means they had to carry him up to the place of crucifixion. I'm so glad the soldier didn't kick him, but he picked him up, carried him to Calvary. We should use our imagination when we study the life of Christ. His mother was there. His heart was breaking. His mother was there. And her heart was also breaking. She sees the strong soldier carrying a weakened, battered, bleeding son to the cross on which he was to die. Have you seen your child suffer? You know, this is a tremendous kind of unique pain. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. A few singing birds on the hill fly away in the coolness of the morning. I had the privilege to climb the hill of Calvary 3 times. That's a Muslim cemetery. And it was very special to me because here the cross of Christ stood. What caused their sudden departure, the birds? Why did they fly away? They were singing in the trees on Calvary. Because 2 men carrying crosses came walking up the hill. And a bird moves away when you come a bit closer. A soldier carries a wounded man. The crowd is very noisy, and the birds fly away. The singing birds fly off and settle a little further. They are unaware of the fact that their creator was going to die. And they just kept on singing. Jesus needed these sweet bird sounds in this trying hour. Jesus hears their singing because he created them. He designed the tune that they were singing. But another voice drowns the singing of the birds. Bring me the hammer! Bring me the nails! Shouts a Roman soldier at the top of his voice. The creator and owner of all the forests in the world are nailed to one of his trees. Painful? Have you ever hurt your hand, the palm of your hand? Sinews? He uttered not a word. As the Negro spiritual says, he mumbled not a word. Not a word. He mumbled not a word. With his lacerated back on the cross and the excruciating pain of the nail wounds, he lies without complaining. Can you see it? His left hand is placed on the cross beam. The soldier positions the nail in the middle of his palm. The bystanders hear the doof, doof as the nail penetrates through his hand. And into the wood, another sound, nail and wood sound. Jesus is exceptionally calm. The pain causes huge drops of perspiration to roll down his face. He is fulfilling a 700-year-old prophecy, Isaiah 4 verse 16. See, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. I love this verse. Your name and my name are engraved in the palms of his hand. He carries it with him all the time. Only one reminder of sin in heaven? Yes. The nail prints in his hands and feet and side. I'm going to take his hand in mine and thank him and thank him and thank him again and again for writing my name in the palm of his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. How many messianic words did Jesus speak on the cross? The first of the seven is found in Luke 23, verse 34. Father, praying to God the Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes by casting lots. To who is he speaking? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the sinners of the world. And he wants you to hear this melody. I forgive you because you do not know what you are doing. What a forgiving God. Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was bruised in every way, psychologically and physically, for our iniquities. He asks the Father to forgive us because we nailed him to the tree. John 19 verse 19 and 20. Now Pilate wrote the title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read the title. For the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Now when you look at this site of Calvary, it's opposite the Herod and the Damascus gates. This was the main route. People traveled there. And this was specially done by the Romans to see how they punish wicked people. And because of my sins, Jesus became the greatest wicked person ever. Just across the old city wall is a Muslim cemetery on a hill that looks like a skeleton. Here you can see the picture. From up here, one can see the Dome of the Rock. So Jesus was looking at the temple, that beautiful temple built by Herod the Great. Priests were officiating there. And he saw that, and he saw what's happening to him, and he sees your face and mine. If this was the place where the temple once stood, what should we see inside? This is the rock on which Abram sacrificed Isaac when a voice said, God will provide, when he saw the ram in the thicket. So millions of lambs were slaughtered here, and the blood drained down here, and then to the valley of Kidron. What kind of sacrifices were brought here in times past? The typical lamb pointing to the antitypical lamb. Here a father and son walked up to the hill, and just nearby, part of the hill, another father and another son walked up to a hill where a sacrifice was made. What does type teach us? If this happened to Abraham and Isaac, the types, it's also going to happen to another father and another son. Guess what I heard up here? Just below the hill of Calvary, you've got the taxi rank and buses. There's a noise almost day and night. And when Jesus was up there, he heard the noise of people shouting and screaming and crying and cursing. That was the music when he died. Did Jesus hear the hustle and bustle of the crowds who came to celebrate the Passover feast? Yes, he did. He listens to you and me continuously. What kind of sounds do I project into his heart, into his ear? How many languages were displayed on the cross? Luke 23:38. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Now, if you'd known these three languages, you could go almost anywhere in the ancient world. And it says, this is the King of the Jews. You know, this is of such a great significance. People could see what they did to their king. What thoughts did Barabbas and the scum, the rabble, entertain concerning the dying king? Barabbas stood somewhere, looking at the man who's dying in his place. The most wicked man and the most perfect man, Christ. How would you have experienced the dying king? Did the shame of the cross influence the viewers? We proclaim God's love when we pray like Jesus prayed. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That sound uttered on Calvary glides through the universe, singing the sweet melody of a forgiving God. Loretta says, if you want to be happy, this is paradoxically, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. For in dying we live, in living we die. We reach people by dying to our selfish needs. Selfishness is our greatest sin. Psalms 22:15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue, can you see swollen tongue? And my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Jesus haven't had a drink of water since Thursday evening at the Passover feast. He was terribly dehydrated. Have you ever been very thirsting for a cool glass of water? While Jesus hung on the cross, messianic prophecies were being fulfilled, seven of them. Psalms 22:16, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. See him there. They pierced my hands and my feet. 700 years before this happened, when they did not use this method to crucify, to kill people, to execute people, the prophecy said this was going to be the way he will be crucified. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. They could see the nails piercing his hands and his feet. Nails that pierced his hands and feet testify of the accuracy of the messianic prophecies, 320 of them altogether. They pierced my hands and my feet. The marks will be there. The marks will remain throughout eternity. Long before crucifixion was introduced, prophecy predicted this method of execution. Jesus, the strong man who walked hundreds of kilometers and prayed all night. But now he is weak. He's exhausted. He's devastated. He's powerless. What a price he paid for sinners like you and me. It was prophesied, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd." The prophecy was fulfilled on Calvary. Verse 19, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Centuries before the Calvary event, this was prophesied. Here it's all he possessed. He clothes, and he lost that at Calvary. John 19:23. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also a tunic." Also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in the one piece. From the top in the one piece. Verse 24. "They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, this one piece, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them." His last piece of possession was divided by the soldiers. "And for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things." Next time, we will learn more about the four soldiers and the lots that they cast it over the clothes of Jesus. And I'm going to show you the excavation of a genuine Roman dice. We will learn more about the kind of lots they casted. While the sound of the Roman dices was heard on the limestone of Calvary, other similar sounds were also heard. Come and listen to the greatest story ever told. Come and listen how precious you are in the sight of God. You are despised by some people. I'm despised by some. But you know what? I am precious in His sight. And you, my friend, so very precious in His sight. He died for you. I love this old song. It's so beautiful. The melody is so sweet, if you know it, sing it. It was His love for me that nailed Him to the tree, to die in agony for all my sin, for my own guilt and blame. The great Redeemer came, willing to bear the shame of all my sin. Sin is so shameful. I'm ashamed of some things I did, but He died for my shame as well. To Calvary's hill one day, the Lord was led away, and we've seen Him struggling, staggering behind His own cross. None else the price could pay for all my sin. He on the cross was slain, yielding His life in pain. He felt the bitter stain of all my sin. Was ever love so strong? Was ever crime so wrong? When Jesus suffered long for all my sin, He saw my greatest need, became my friend indeed. Through Him I have been freed of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. In Him God's glory and mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me. When I see my Savior hanging on Calvary, bearing there for sinners bitterest agony, gratitude overwhelms me, makes mine eyes grow dim. All my ransomed being captive is to him. This is another beautiful song. We need to sing these songs. I can see the blood drops red neath his thorny crown. From the cruel nail wounds now they are falling down. Lord, when I should wander, hope it doesn't happen. Lord, if I should wander from thy love away, let me see those blood drops shed for me that day. Why hast thou forsaken? List to that sad, sad moan. Oh, his heart was broken, suffering there alone. Broken then that mortals ne'er need cry in vain for God's love and comfort. In the hour of pain, we will not have pain in heaven because God took away pain on Calvary. Father in heaven, how do we say thank you for dying in Christ for us? Please help us to die for self, to just say thank you in a small manner. In Jesus' name, amen.